with you just two verses from the Word of God, very well-known verses, John's Gospel in chapter 3. John's Gospel in chapter 3. Derek already this evening has very clearly told you of our need, your need, as sinners. But he has also taken us to the cross, the place where sins can be forgiven. The work of Christ is finished. I'd like to read verses 16 and 17, John 3, verse 16 and verse 17. And what I'd like to speak on this evening is just the last word in verse number 17. And that is the word saved. But since we're so close to verse 16, we must read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's the Lord Jesus, that whosoever, that means me, it means you, the person sitting beside you, everyone, that whosoever believeth in him, Christ, they should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm just going to read verse 17 again, and maybe I'll just paraphrase it if I can. God did not send the Lord Jesus Christ into this world of humanity, this world of human beings, to judge us, but rather he sent him into this world of mankind that through him, through his Son, we might be saved. What a tremendous story, the story of the gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. I'd like to encourage you this evening. There's a number here tonight, younger and older. And I'd like to start by saying this tonight. God wants you to be saved. If you're not saved, God wants you to be saved. God loves you. And if you've come into this meeting this evening and you've come and you're burdened, you're not at peace, you feel that you're lacking something, and you maybe don't even know exactly what it is that you're lacking, you can be saved. You can have this peace with God tonight as a free gift before you leave in about 25 minutes or so. God's salvation. What does it mean to be saved? Well, it really means to be brought to a place of safety. It means to be rescued. It means to be delivered. And often we hear of different stories or illustrations that are given of individuals that are saved. They could be saved from the water. They could be saved from a burning building and so on. But it's the idea of being brought from a place of danger and being delivered and brought to a place of safety. This evening we'd like to think of God's salvation, the salvation that God offers to you individually tonight in the gospel meeting. First of all, we must point out that God's salvation stems from his heart of love. God is a God of love. You're here tonight and possibly you do not feel loved. Possibly you feel that there are those that have let you down, those that have disappointed you. And that could very well be. But God is one that will not let you down. God is not one that will disappoint. God is a God of love. The fact that you're even here in this gospel meeting this evening is an evidence, a demonstration that God is a God of love. He loves you. And he has desired that you would be here this evening under the sound of his word. So God, his salvation stems from a heart of love. Long before sin entered into the world, back in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden, long before man fell, there was a heart of love, God's heart of love. And ever in that heart of love, there was a plan for man's salvation. First of all, I'd like to look tonight at the importance of the scriptures. When we refer to the scriptures, we're just really referring to the Bible that we're holding, God's Word, the importance of the Scriptures in relation to the gospel. You'll notice as I go through the next number of minutes that I'm going to try to quote as many Bible verses as I can. Because as Derek has pointed out, we have no authority, I have absolutely no authority to even be speaking to you tonight. The only authority we have comes from the Word of God. You should not trust me, but we are responsible to trust God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul is writing to a younger man, Timothy, and he says, "And from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." If we want to be saved, if we want to be saved from the sin that is in our life that Derek has been talking about, we want to be delivered. We want to be in heaven. We want to be free of that burden of sin and be in heaven at the end of life. We're going to need to be saved. And if we're going to be saved and find out about being saved, we need to go to the source of salvation, and that is God Himself and His Word. So if we are going to learn about salvation, our only authority is His Word. God's salvation is simply that. It's God's salvation, which means it originates with God Himself. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, it says, "God, who would have all people to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." That is what God's will is. That's what God's heart desires. He desires that all people would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. If we were to read back in the book of Psalms, Psalm 3, verse 8, it tells us that salvation belongeth unto the Lord. So this salvation, it's God's plan, and it is God's initiative. We've already been reminded this evening that salvation is for sinners. That is who salvation is intended for. We've already been reminded that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we go back to our verse, verse number 17, John chapter 3, it says that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn or to judge us. The reason that He didn't send Him to judge us is because we were judged already. All of us are condemned under sin. He didn't need to come to condemn us. We were already condemned. But rather, He came that through Him, through the Lord Jesus, we might be saved. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the purpose for which He came, to save sinners. There's those of us here in the meeting this evening, and we are saved. It's not something that we did. It's not something that we worked for. It's something that we allowed the Lord Jesus to do for us. We recognized that we had sinned. We recognized the Scriptures are correct. We are sinners. And we simply accepted that Christ Jesus came into the world, not just to save sinners as of all of us, but He came into the world to save me. What a wonder. What a wonder that he came into this world. We could try to talk about the distance that He came, and it's really, we can't calculate it. We could think of the change that it must have been to come from heaven and all the way to Bethlehem. We could go into all of that. But think of the reason that He came, and that's even more staggering. He came into the world to save sinners. But God's salvation, it's a necessity. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 tells us, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." It's a necessity in two different ways. It's a necessity that we are saved because there is no other salvation anywhere else. The necessity is that we come God's way, God's plan, because there is no other way. But the end of the verse tells us that we must be saved. It's very clear. As we say in black and white, neither is there salvation in any other. And it says, none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There's many things in life that are optional, or we can choose different options. But when it comes to God's salvation, when it comes to being in heaven, the Bible tells us that we must be saved. But God's salvation is found in a person. The verse we just quoted, neither is there salvation in any other. That means it's found in a person. Salvation is not found in a church. Salvation is not found in this physical building. Salvation is not found in the people that gather in this building. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is in a person. Neither is there salvation in any other. Let's go back to the text that we read, first of all, in John chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, it's a person, that the world, that people in the world, through the Lord Jesus, might be saved. So if you want to be saved this evening, don't look for it in yourself, because it can't be found there. Don't look for it in religion. It can't be found there. Don't look for it in others. Salvation is found in a person, only one person, and that is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is found in God's beloved Son. Salvation is found in the one that God is satisfied with. God is satisfied in his Son. The Lord Jesus could say, I believe it was in John's Gospel, he could say, I am from above. He's telling people, he's speaking now on earth, and he's speaking to men, and he's telling them where he is from. He says, I am from above. So the one that was from above came down. Why? 1 John 4 and verse 14 tells us that the Father, that's God, sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's why he came. The one that was from above came down. When I was thinking, and I don't think I've told you this illustration before, I was just thinking of the one that was above, the one that came down. That salvation is from above. A number of years ago, quite a number of years ago, probably 30, I'm guessing, 30 years ago, there's a story I remember hearing. It's from a little island called St. Lucia, a place where I grew up, small island in the Caribbean. And I'll relate to you the story as best I can from hearing it for the first time as probably a 9 or 10-year-old. And I think I've got most of the details straight. If not, you'll have the gist of the story. Often when we would drive wherever we needed to go or to different meetings, or if we were even to drive into the capital city from where we lived, we would drive by through the capital city, which had a large harbor. Since I grew up close to the ocean, I loved it. And it would always be a bit of a topic of conversation in the van. I wonder what ships will be in, large cruise ships. But often there were Navy ships or battleships that would come in, usually from the U.S. Navy. They would be patrolling the islands of the Caribbean. Unfortunately, a lot of drugs would be passed up from Colombia and northern South America and eventually get their way up into Florida. But this story is about a man by the name of Albert. And we always knew him as Sandy, so we'll call him Sandy tonight. Sandy was a customs officer in St. Lucia. About 30 years ago, customs officers didn't wear any firearms, they didn't have any guns. Probably all that they had was a notebook. So at the very north of the island in St. Lucia, there's a marina, and a lot of yachts would come in and small speedboats and things like that. Quite a large place, and his job was to inspect the boats that came in to the marina. This one day, according to what I remember of the story, this boat comes in with, from what I remember, three men on board. And Sandy does his usual job. He goes onto the boat and he questions them to see where they're coming from, to pick up their customs declaration and to see what they have on the boat. Of course, really what these customs officers are looking for are illegal drugs. Sure enough, in Sandy's inspection of this small boat, he finds what he's looking for, he finds these drugs. What happens now? The three men loose the boat from where it was moored, and they decide what we're going to do is we'll just take Sandy hostage, and we'll just take him out to sea with us. I'm not too sure what those men intended to do. Were they just going to throw him overboard and make him swim back, and then they'd be long gone? That's a possibility. Maybe they were just going to kill him and throw him overboard. I'm not too sure. Now, maybe some of you here are younger, and you're saying, well, I sure hope Sandy jumps out quick before they're too far from land. Well, you see, there was a very, very big difficulty. Sandy could not swim. This is a physical illustration, but I'm trying to bring a spiritual meaning from it. Sandy's in trouble. He is without hope. He's at the hands of three criminals. He's on a boat that is heading out to sea, and he can't swim. A little picture, if I can put it that way, of us in our sin, completely helpless, doomed, with absolutely no hope. We can't save ourselves. We can't get to heaven on our own. There's absolutely nothing that we can do. Helpless, hopeless, and hellbound. The boat continues out to sea. And I remember Sandy telling my dad the story. There was absolutely nothing he could do. Completely helpless at the hands of these criminals. They go further and further out to sea. I'm sure Sandy wondered, what's going to be my end? Is it better if they shoot me, or is it better if I drown? But do you remember I told you, and this is going back to the scriptures now, salvation comes from above. Salvation comes from above. Do you remember I told you that often there were U.S. Navy ships that came into the harbor? About 10 miles as the crow flies, south of that marina where Sandy was taken hostage, there was that harbor, and that day, there was a U.S. Navy ship in the harbor. I'm sure they had come in just so that the men could get a bit of a break and do something different rather than living in those close quarters at sea. Sandy's on this little boat, and he's heading out to sea, and what does he hear? The sound of a chopper overhead. You see, back then, I mentioned to you that the customs officers didn't have any guns. I don't think they even had any radios back then. But Sandy was missing. And somehow the message, they figured out at the marina what had gone wrong. And they had gotten a message to the captain of the U.S. Navy ship. Amazing coordination, especially for back then. But what did they do? They sent a helicopter up. That little boat and those three criminals were no match for a U.S. Navy helicopter. Salvation for Sandy came from above. And that day he was delivered. Those criminals didn't stand a chance. I remember, from what I can remember of the story, as the helicopter came down, they were busy unloading duct-taped white packages into the ocean. They were trying to destroy the evidence as quickly as they could. But it didn't matter. They were caught. And Sandy was saved. Salvation came from above. He needed to be delivered. He was facing imminent death. There was nothing that he could do, but salvation came from a place that he least expected it. Salvation came from above. And tonight we'd like to tell you in the gospel meeting that if you're going to be saved from your sin, if you're going to be in heaven, your salvation needs to come from above, because your salvation cannot come from within. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is only found in a person. But salvation, God's salvation, is absolutely free to you tonight, completely free. You don't need to pay for it. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God wants to give you a gift. He's not expecting, he doesn't want payment. It's a gift. I mentioned it's free. That's correct. But it was costly to God. It cost God absolutely everything that he had. It cost God his well-beloved son. That's Calvary, where we've already been brought to. It cost God his son to be able to provide salvation. God loves you so much that he was willing for his son to die so that you could be saved. He wants you in heaven. I was going to say so badly, and that's not the right way to put it. God wants you in heaven so much that he was willing to send his son to die for you. God's salvation was brought about at Calvary. We could think of the events of Calvary. We already have thought of some. We could think of the cruelty of the hand of men. But I'd like to just touch for a moment on the provision that was made at Calvary. It's already been touched on. I just want to emphasize it again. The provision at Calvary. I'm not sure if you'll know what I am referring to. When I speak of an unlimited atonement, that simply means that when Christ died, he died for everyone. There's not some that he died for. There's not some that he did not die for. It's not that he provided in some limited way a way of salvation is provided for all. There is no one excluded from the love of God. There is no one excluded from the work of Calvary. Young people can be saved. Children can be saved. Adults can be saved. People that have lived a very good so-called religious life can be saved. People that are criminals can be saved. A question that sometimes comes up, and I've been asked before, and it's interesting why this question is asked, and it's a good question. People sometimes ask, well, what about infants? What about babies? They don't really understand that they are sinners. They don't understand that they need to be saved. Did Christ die for them? Absolutely, he did. Those infants, those babies that die very, very young, that have never had an opportunity to understand fully the love of God, are covered by the blood shed at Calvary. That is the love of God. That is the love of God. This is the one. This is the God of the Bible. It's the salvation of the Bible. Unlimited provision. There is no one that is excluded. There is no one too good. There is no one too bad. There is no one too guilty. Salvation has been provided, and it has been provided for all, absolutely free. Derek has reminded us, and I'll just touch it briefly because he's covered it so well, that salvation must be provided at Calvary righteously. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 21 refers to God as a just God and a Savior. He's just, that means he's holy. That means he cannot excuse sin. That simply means he cannot allow you with your sin into his heaven. But it also means that when Christ died, a holy and a just God punished Christ for my sin. Can I ask you this evening, when Christ died, did he die for your sin? The answers are in the scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Did Christ die for your sin? If you were to accept the fact that when he died for me, he took my place, he took the punishment that I deserved, you would come into tonight the blessing of God's salvation. I'd just like to mention very, very quickly, without going into them, four different characteristics of God in relation to salvation. First of all, his long-suffering, the long-suffering of God. What do we mean by that? Long-suffering, we could think of patience, that he's waiting. He's giving you other opportunities. The Lord is, 2 Peter 3 would tell us that the Lord is long-suffering. He's patient towards us. He is not willing that any should perish or be lost in hell. He is so kind, so patient, so long-suffering. Many of you have heard the gospel before. He has given you opportunity, and he's given you opportunity again tonight. He is waiting. He is long-suffering, but notice he will not wait forever. We are not guaranteed of tomorrow. His long-suffering, but what about his grace? I've already referred to it, Ephesians chapter 2. It is God's grace that extends this message of salvation, this offer of salvation to you. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it, but it's offered to you tonight. It's the power of God through the gospel that brings this message of salvation to you. Paul could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Isaiah 59, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. There is the ability, the power of God through the gospel to save you and to save you even tonight. I enjoyed this one. It is the eternal character of God that backs the offer of salvation. It is the eternal character of God that backs or guarantees this offer of salvation. Where would we go to prove that? John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse number 28. He says, I give unto them, the Lord Jesus could say. Those are people that he has saved, people that have allowed him to save them. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. I give unto them eternal life. That's what he wants to give you tonight. He wants to give you eternal life. And if he gives you eternal life, what does he say? He says, they, you, shall never, never perish. But I must close. God's salvation, it must be provided righteously, yes. But God's salvation will not always be available. Death could come at any time. The coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, that call that will come that will summon all true believers up to heaven, that moment could happen at any time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 reminds us, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Salvation will not always be available, but salvation can very easily be missed. Hebrews chapter 2 reminds us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You ask, well, how is it possible for me to miss it? Well, unfortunately, very easily. Just neglect it. Just put it off. Just deal with it next week. No. The warning tonight is that salvation, God's salvation, can very easily be missed. How shall we escape? How are we going to escape the judgment of our sins if we neglect or we put off God's so great salvation? I close with this. My time is done. Salvation, God's salvation, can be yours tonight. That is the tremendous thing about the preaching of the gospel. That is the tremendous thing about the Word of God. That is the tremendous thing about the love of God. You could be here tonight burdened with your sin, wanting to have peace with God, wanting to be right with God, longing to have a relationship, a steady relationship that is secure, to feel loved, to feel secure, to have a relationship with the God of heaven. Well, friend, tonight you can have it. And you can have it tonight through the person and through the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him tonight. I was going to quote two verses. I'm just going to quote one of them. One of them had to do with a man that asked, what must I do to be saved? The answer to him was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many that are confused and have difficulty with the word believing. I like a verse in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 21. It says this, whosoever, that could be you tonight, whosoever, the person that calls upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. If you want to be saved tonight, talk to God about it. If you were to ask him for salvation, he would save you, and he would save you tonight. Let's pray. Our Father in